Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio. Super excited today because we have Chris P. James joining us. He is the front man of Burrito Brothers. A lot of you know them as the Flying Burrito Brothers, and we're here today to talk to him and talk a little bit about the evolution of the Burrito Brothers and also their latest album, which is out, and it's called Together. You can get it everywhere. You can get the actual CD, just saying, on their website. Go to theburritobrothers.net. But welcome. How are you, Chris?
I'm fine, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and sweet to get to talk with you.
You too. I have to tell you this. I know this is airing on April 8th, Music Monday, right? We like to do that. But today, as we're recording it, did you know it happens to be National Burrito Day? Did we not pick a good time to record or what?
Oh, that's great. You know, that's funny. I didn't catch that this year, but I remember one year ago seeing that or being told that. That's great.
You have your own day. I love it. I love it. You know,
yeah.
you've been in the band for a while now, right? And a few albums under your belt with the band.
Yeah, I think it's up to five now. I got to join as a full-time member back in 2009. So it's been about 15 years. But the first time I played with the Burrito Brothers was in 1986 at a tribute to Gram Parsons held here in Nashville, put on by Argyle Bell. And at the time, the Burrito Brothers were just John Belen and Gib Gilbo, two guys. And so whenever any of the artists on that Gram Parsons tribute that year didn't have a backup band, they used the guys who Argyle provided, the stage band. We had had some rehearsals earlier in the week, and I was in that band. I was playing keyboards and singing harmonies. And so as of that night in 1986, I was able to enter on my resume that I'd played in the Burrito Brothers. And as a result of that, that night, I got asked back and did 5 years in a row of these well-attended tributes. And Gram Parsons was really not very well known at the time. The whole idea for the tribute was to try to bring some recognition to this underappreciated talent named Gram Parsons. And Argyle was good at getting all sorts of good people there. There were like the Dirt Band and Bobby Bear and Vince Gill and Rodney Crowell and Foster and Lloyd, and Rick Nelson's band and New Riders of the Purple Sphere. The list goes on and on and on. I remember Al Cooper, a lot of really cool people. In fact, Gene Parsons and, the list goes on. But having kind of hung with those guys for those 5 years, it kind of brought me into the fold. And I ended up playing various gigs with them. And over the years, I got set in on a couple gigs, like a substitute here and there for some of the latter day burrito things. And sang on one of the albums, just part of the backup. So I'd kind of been waiting in the wings for quite a long time. But in 2009 is when I got to be a full-time member.
Oh, so, you know, you guys are out still performing. Do you go over to Europe as on tour at all?
Yeah, we sure hope so. That's our goal. That's we're hoping to get the feelers out there and get it looked into. We've got a guy over there named Bob Boiling, who I get a kick out of. The initials, BB, like Burrito Brothers.
Yes.
Bob Boiling is our representative in England, and he got us a record deal with SFM Records, which distributes the albums of Burrito Brothers worldwide. It's really beautiful. A shout out to the president and his right-hand man of SFM. That's Brian Adams and Robin Sellers. And we're hoping to head over to Europe since we are distributed over there and our label base is there. And it seems like a real likelihood that we could get received very warmly. It seems kind of trickier here in the United States. It's like the old hard to be a hero in your hometown kind of thing. Also, we're old now, and we're not into Just climbing in a van and playing a bunch of nights in clubs night after night. If I tried to ask the guys to do it, I'm pretty sure they'd turn me down. I mean, we would need to be offered some really attractive money, and that might not be that available. We've done festivals here and there, the occasional really nice concert here and there, and like I say, we'd love like a week or two short trip to places overseas would be ideal for
It'd
us.
be cool to have a
But
residency, you know, like a short-term residency. That would be sweet,
oh
where you
yeah,
can set
like
up.
the way they did that at, yeah, there's a few places. What's that, Ronnie Scott's was known for those in England. Yeah, that would be very cool. But we're not dissatisfied in being a predominantly artistic recording group. I mean, that isn't that there, it's not without precedent. There,
I love
there's
it.
lots
I
of,
love Together.
yeah.
I mean, when I listen to the
Oh,
album, I'm
thank you.
like, it's just like it. You, it's like, well, don't stop playing. You know what I mean? When it ends, it's like, okay. And so I really hope people get the actual physical album because then you'll have all 10 songs on there. I also want to bring that up. But the album has, it's just, you know, I really kind of miss this kind of music where it's got a little bit of everything, you know, it's, you've got the roots of country in there and a little folk, and then it's just little, it's got, I don't know, it's just like this
Oh yeah,
great
it's very
storytelling.
much a hybrid. It's a hybrid. It's not, you know, like I remember Graham Parsons saying he hated the term country rock, and I get that. Although I think it almost is the closest if you've got to list us with a genre name. But I think of us as a rock band. We're more of a progressive, we're a very, very creative, sometimes even psychedelic rock
Yes,
band that
you
happens
definitely
to
have
have.
psychedelic. Yeah, you've got, I mean,
Yeah,
even
but
Together is got a psychedelic vibe in there, man. It does.
it's
Together.
got, I think they kind of were, yeah, I thank you for noticing. I think they kind of were very progressive all along, and it's kind of illusion because the pedal steel and the sort of southern sound of Graham's singing and stuff really led people to think there's country, and obviously there were country sensibilities heavily involved, but it really wasn't just country music. It didn't fall under that umbrella as much as some sort of hybrid that was very creative and forward moving, and that's how I believe we are. I think we've got that, you know, you can really tell we're an American band. You know, I'm sure they can tell that in England when they hear our music, and you can hear some of the country, raw country sensibilities, but boy, it doesn't sound like old school country or any of today's country chart activity. It's more of a rock band.
I like it when you don't have to go, oh, it's only this or that. Like, I understand, like, blues has got a real, you know, or metal music. There's certain genres that are like pure genre, right? And I totally
Yeah,
respect
yeah.
that, you know. It's but I love when it is a blend because I don't like as soon as I put this on, and I know you know, for our audience that listens to our music interviews, sorry, I'm gonna say it again, but it's road trip worthy. To me, that is the ultimate test of an album is, are you going to listen to it all the way through? Some albums I can
Yeah.
listen to nonstop. I can keep rolling in it for, it's like it gets a hook in you. And I think there's a laid back feel, but at the same time you have a hook in there that, you know, it's, you're not allowed to be laid back too much. You know what I mean? As a listener.
Right.
And
No, you don't want to get boring, you know. It's absolutely conceived from the get-go. It was intended to be one work, one piece. It's meant to flow from the first song to the end song. It's an album, you know. We're in that, dare I use the overused term, old school, you know. It's like we all loved the whole concept of an album being a little journey, you know. You put on the album and listen to the whole thing through. There was really the birth of the Burrito Brothers was an era when that was dominant. I mean, it's amazing. Led Zeppelin pops into mind. These groups, Pink Floyd is another example. These groups that were monumentally successful, and it wasn't because of hit singles. It was whole albums.
I mean, Sheryl Crow's getting backlash for, she said, like, she just put out what I think is Evolution. But an album, she's like, you now it's like a singles industry. And there's it's not an album industry, but I think for true music fans, I mean, there's always a place for a single, right? But to have an album, it's like it takes you on a journey, and I love it when people work on the album where you get the artwork. Yeah, let's talk about the artwork, the cover of the album. I like the artwork.
Oh, I
You're
love it. Yeah,
tripping
that's
out,
done by
man.
Warren Ells. Yeah, we had this idea of sort of including outer space. I remember the Byrds on Dr. Byrds and Mr. Hyde had this montage on the back of their album cover where they came down and they were in space, astronaut outfits, and took them off, and underneath were cowboy clothes, and they end up getting up on horses and riding away into the sunset. It's that hybrid of something very futuristic and modern, coupled with the old ways, and I think that kind of describes it. So we got into this notion of being in space travel to show forward futuristic stuff, and then we got this wild idea: the mothership that drops our pod, our little pod of the Gilded Palace or whatever it is, the little shack that we use as a logo that's on all our albums of the past decade or more. It becomes a landing module, and the mothership has on its side the woman, the cover art of Sweetheart of the Rodeo by the Byrds, because that's the album that Graham Parsons was on with the Byrds, the only album where Graham Parsons was a member of the Byrds, and he and Chris Hillman left right after making that album and began Flying Burrito Brothers. So the Burrito Brothers are a direct spin-off, a direct offshoot of the Byrds' Sweetheart of the Rodeo. And I talked to Warren about the idea of getting that woman. Can she be the spaceship or something? And then he thought, no, those World War II fighters had a pretty girl on the side, the paintings of the sexy
They
girl
do.
on the side of. And so he used that concept and put that rodeo girl on the spacecraft. And then we wrote under it that it's the mothership. So that people who understand the origins of the Burrito Brothers and how it came from the Byrds and Sweetheart of the Rodeo would pick up on Sweetheart of the Rodeo is the mothership. And
And it's together, so it also stands for unity between humans and space and aliens.
yes. Yeah, and furthermore, I should mention a shout out. I told you that Bob Boiling is our representative in England. His wife is a very fine artist. Her name's Jo Boiling, and she offered to make a painting for this concept. We were talking about having it be about space. What can we come up with when we were brainstorming what to do for cover art? And she painted what's on the back there. That's an actual physical painting, more so than the front. The front, I think Warren does more of his. I don't know what you call that form of artwork. It wasn't,
It's like a graphic
brushes and
design.
oils. Yeah, graphic design. It's not brushes and oils on canvas, but there is an actual original on canvas of the back painting, and Joe Boiling did that for us.
Wow, that's
So
so
that's
cool.
really sweet too. Yeah.
But I think art and the album, the whole thing going together, like I think that's what's so cool about the vinyl revolution right now, like the return of vinyl is, you want the liner notes, you want all that kind of stuff, and
Yeah, the
I
info.
don't
I
know.
love it. Yeah.
You want that, and even
Yeah.
all the names, because that's how you start to connect the dots. When pre-Google, right? Now we can Google someone and go,
Yes.
okay, who's this? Who's that? For listeners who may not know Graham Parsons, go Google and you're going to go down a rabbit hole. Seriously. I mean, that's a whole, and if you, by the way, start at theburritobrothers.net because they've got a cool timeline of the Flying Burrito Brothers and who was in there, because there's so many people that have come through the bands. But it is,
Oh
you
my,
know,
yeah.
those
It,
notes,
the...
oh man, you could go down a rabbit hole on how many people have been part of the burrito. There's a lot of brothers.
Oh, it's it. Oh, it's a lot. Yeah, and the timeline is really cool because it's got an entry for each year and tells who was in it that year and what they did, what album. Although it doesn't get extra long wordy, so it's not uncomfortable to wade through. It's really fun to just move through, and it also underscores makes it pretty obvious what I alluded to earlier, that the band has been changing people all along, and it's not like there's some quantum shift at any particular point. It seems like it just gradually kept going and reinventing itself. And the beautiful thing I maintain about that, that other bands don't really have, is since there's not exactly a absolute iconic one version of the group, since it always changed, it throws the gauntlet every time. It makes in any new incarnation feel the need, we certainly did, to prove that we're up to it, to step up to the plate and deliver and do a really nice next album, you know.
I love that. I love that
There's
you're not just,
yeah.
keeping with, here's the same songs and, we're just a change. You've got to keep progressing. I mean, music is that
Right.
way, and to me, that's like keeping this band is going to go forever. It's going to be the longest, like, band, the most alive band in history of just keep going. You know what I mean? It's the most continuous
Oh, that would
band
be
in the,
sweet. I would love for
wouldn't that
that to
be
be the
cool?
case. It,
The most
yeah, yeah.
continuous band. I mean, because it's true, bands are crazy. As we had a fun conversation before we started recording. We should tell everybody about it. But really, bands go through these evolutions. And to me, I love that there's new people that come on board. But in history, we do lose people in bands. I mean, people, we lose, loved ones, friends, family, and bands. It's such a special relationship,
Well,
They,
we
yeah.
lost one making this album. We lost one making this album. In fact, I'll morph into mentioning all the guys in this group,
Please do.
because they certainly deserve mention.
Yeah.
Bob Hatter, the guitar player, who also played all the bass for us on the previous album on Notorious Burrito Brothers, he got cancer and succumbed. And while we were in the process of making this Together album, we lost him, and it wasn't any good. That there was COVID around the early portion of that too, and so we just couldn't finish it with Bob. He we had conceived the whole album. He'd written a whole lot of the material with us. We knew this was the album we were going to make, and then when it came time to go into the good big studio and take these demos and make them into master quality recordings, Bob wasn't available anymore, and so we recruited Steve Allen, who we've all known a long time and has the same sort of skill set. He plays wonderful, just magnificent guitar. And we had, once again, like Bob, Steve played the bass for us, and we really dug the idea that this way we limit the, the old saying about too many chefs, too many cooks spoil the pot or whatever you call it. Yeah, so we liked keeping it all concise, the four of us. So the guitar player played bass, and Steve, before he would do it, he talked with Bob, and he said to us that he would really like to essentially have Bob's blessing before doing it. But then he got real on board with doing all he could to deliver what he believes Bob had in mind, which is just beautiful. And
That is.
So that's Steve Allen and Bob Hatter contributing guitar and bass, both doing both instruments to complete the album. And then the other two guys are Tony Paoletta, who's been in the longest other than me now. He came in, I think, 2 years after me. And he's just brilliant on pedal steel. He plays other instruments. He's the utility instrument guy, so to speak. He plays mandolin and dobro and banjo, although he rolls his eyes and says, I'm not a banjo player, but he does. He plays a little. And just other things like that. And God, I think he played dulcimer on something. He's utility guy, but his feature is just brilliance on pedal steel guitar, which is a real important feature of the burrito. It always has been a calling card, a signature. So there's Tony, and then finally Peter Young on drums, who is also our engineering wizard guy. He's got his own studio called Ultra Audio down on Music Row, and he does just a beautiful job of mixing, and plus he's a, besides being a world-class marvelous drummer, he's a good singer. He sings lead on Streets of Santa Rosa.
I love that song, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that song.
And he wrote, that's the last song he and Bob Hatter wrote together.
No way.
And he sings real good harmony. He's probably the more than anyone else in the group. He's the principal harmony singer with me.
Wow.
So it's a real, real nice, concise four piece.
You know, you,
of course,
when I first, go ahead.
I was going to say, of course, if anytime we play live, we get a bass player. For the last few years, every time we have, it's been Michael Curtis, who's quite a brilliant, great talent himself. He wrote with his brother Rick, the Curtis brothers, wrote Southern Cross, that was so famous by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and wrote Blue Letter that Fleetwood Mac did.
Yeah,
and he's played with Crazy Horse and a later version of The Byrds with Gene Clark and Michael Clark, and even also a later version of the Buffalo Springfield with Dewey Martin and Bruce Palmer, and he's the right guy for it when we do play live. But we've hesitated to just ask him to be a full-time member because we still like our concise little four. Like I say, we don't want too many chefs.
Yeah.
So we hire a bass player to play, to fill out, since Steve Allen can't play both guitar and bass at the same time.
Well, come on, Steve. Well, but also with keys,
yeah.
You've got bass. You've got bass with keys, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you have it.
Yeah. It's all well kept the way we like it. It's not like my ego wants it this way. I've asked on many occasions, Tony and Pete, do you think we should make any personnel changes yet? So we actually, here with Steve Allen in the fold, stand a chance on our next album of having the exact same personnel as the previous. That would be the first time in the 55-year history of the Burrito Brothers that two albums in a row had the same lineup. That's amazing.
See, that really talks about like the history of this band. So when did the flying come out of the name?
Well, they moved. They were kind of starting to wane a little. That period in the mid-70s when Joel Scott Hill was the main lead singer, and when they kind of reconstituted on the heels of Graham Parsons dying and generating some interest in the group name. That was in the mid-70s. So by the end of the 70s, the beginning of the 80s, that had seemed to have kind of wound down, and John Beelan and Gib Gilboa managed to get a record deal from Curb in Nashville. And so they moved their base of operations to Nashville from LA, and actually kind of moved the whole concept. It seems to me that those couple albums those guys made on Curb were more pop oriented, to kind of wanting to get hits on country radio, kind of a different animal for the Burrito Brothers, a little moment in time that's kind of different. But Curb wanted them to shorten the name. They just started calling it the Burrito Booze. I think they thought the slang sounded too hippie, or maybe just too wieldy, too strange. Not that Burrito Brothers itself isn't strange also, but kind of a funny name. But
I
they
think someone had the
shortened it to Burrito
munchies.
Brothers.
I think they had the
Yeah, maybe.
munchies.
And then there's an even another addendum to the story that in later years after that, sometime in the 90s, they were calling themselves the Flying Burrito Brothers again. And it kind of went back and forth. And then in the end of the 90s, the next version of the band called themselves Burrito Deluxe,
That's
allegedly
right. Yeah.
because they thought they should differentiate and therefore not claim to be the Flying Burrito Brothers or something like that. But that never took with the fans. If you go to Wikipedia and look it all up, that's all considered the same group with just slight variations on the name. It's all in there under, it starts with Flying Burrito Brothers, goes to Burrito Brothers, goes back to Flying Burrito Brothers, goes to Burrito Deluxe. And then there was a brief single album window, and I was on it. It's the first one I'm on. It was just called The Burritos. And
Huh.
yeah, but right when that happened, right, we were asked by the label to trademark the name. But let's see if we can control this, or whatever you call it. It'd be right to make sure you guys are legally the owners of that name. And I was asked to do it, and I've never trademarked a band name before. So I, of course, went into it because I want to be in this group very, very much. And they wanted that. And the album hinged upon that. We weren't going to get to put that album out if we didn't obtain trademark rights. And lo and behold, it wasn't hard. It was available. It passed pretty smoothly. I suppose also because nobody else was contesting it, and we were clearly, if you look at the timeline on our website, it's not hard to outline how we're the next in line, so we got it. And then we started wondering, what about Flying Burrito Brothers? Do we want that? And the thing is, we were in touch. I think maybe he got in touch with us. Chris Hillman got in touch and said that he owns the Flying Burrito Brothers, and it's a logo. It's like he owns it to put out t-shirt, to sell t-shirts or stuff with that logo on it, from the first album artwork, and put out some archival recordings from way back when. But it was not as the leader of an existing band. And strangely, we were told that we could be the existing band, that the trademarks are specific enough that since he makes no claim and has no interest in being the Flying Burrito Brothers, it's just he likes owning the trademark name logo, that we could. And in talking with him, he said, "I wish you wouldn't." He basically was of a mind that he could tell somebody's been doing it for the last 35, 40 years anyway. He's over having any objection or concern about it. They're going to do it, kind of resignation. So he said, "I just wish you would leave me the Flying Burrito Brothers. It's fine with me if you guys go by the Burrito Brothers." And we thought that was not unreasonable in any way, and we honored that request. And now it's been something like 14 years that we've been just playing the Burrito Brothers, but trademark owning the only Burrito Brothers, the real Burrito Brothers. And this far down the road, it seems like I was talking with Bob Boiling not long ago about how if Flying Burrito Brothers somehow became available, if Hillman passed away or something, I don't think we even would need it or want it. I mean, by this point, we are the Burrito Brothers. That's who we are. That's the name of our band.
I like it. I mean, I'm just, it's interesting because you do it, so many of us, I think, just remember the Flying Burrito Brothers and you go, are they the same? And you have that little moment, which is
Well,
cool because then
yes
you're
and no.
curious. That's what's cool because
It's
you're
sort of yes and
curious.
no. It's the same lineage. It comes from that without a doubt. And also, I can remember as far back, I mean, I knew of this band when they only had that first album out. I was a fan of the Byrds, and I had their first album, the Gilded Palace of Sin. Loved Gram Parsons singing, and I remember anybody who knew who they were, or even if you saw it in print by reviewers or quotes from the guys in the band, they referred to themselves as the Burrito Brothers or the Burritos. They didn't say the whole wieldy the Flying Burrito. He'd say, "Well, yeah, the Burritos like to do this or that," or "the Burrito Brothers like to do." It always was just called that.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, huh? It's like you guys have like a family tree. I know it's a timeline, but it's almost like a family tree. And in families, names get changed as people move, and things happen. Drama, family drama. But that's the thing. A family tree. There's always somebody with a name change. Just something happens, or like somebody just gets. They shorten names, even last names. Just because that's what they heard, like some immigration papers and stuff. Like our family
I
name
like
is different, just because that's what they heard and they wrote it down,
Right,
So.
yeah. I lengthened my name by one letter. It happened sometime, probably more than 20 years ago now, ways back. But my name is Chris James, and that is a very common first and last name. And there's other people who have this name, and in order to try to differentiate, to try to be me when being listed in burritos or my musical career or anything, or even in the occasional journalism, I thought, well, if I put my middle initial, that's Chris T. James, and that's not just that unbelievably common first and last name. Plus, I get a little inside joke kick out of the fact that that's crispy. Crispy, like maybe a
Yeah, there you
hippie.
go. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
Hey, you know, you
so that's really the reason. I mean, I kind of think of Timothy B. Schmidt or something, but
yeah.
my reason is that my first and last name are so darn common that by being Chris P. James, I might have my own name.
Yeah, it's crispy. Yeah, I think you've got to do so. Well, my last name's Smith, so I'm screwed. I tried to get married and change it, and that
There you
didn't
go.
work
That's
very well.
even that's
I had to
that's a
divorce it.
that's even more common. Yeah, even
Yeah,
more common.
Smith is it, it's like, yeah, whenever people, I would state your name, I'm like, oh, Lisa Smith. Like, really, it is. Like, even when I check in hotels, I'm like, yeah, I mean, it is true. I do have a driver's license.
I think the most common one of all is I remember getting into some music by Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys. And there, the guy who sang a little more than the other guys and wrote a lot of their songs, the piano player, his name was Bob Smith. Now, you can't get any more common than those two names. And
Yeah.
it was difficult because I wanted to look the guy up. I wanted to Google. Try Googling Bob Smith. It's like, no. But
That's funny.
that's the name of the guy from Cat Mother, was Bob Smith. Bob.
Oh man, that's funny, man. That really is. That's
Yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, together, I really hope people go and get the actual album. You get 10 songs on there. So the 10th song, it's like a bonus song, is I Find Love. Not necessarily the number 10 on there, but it's the
Yeah.
extra song than what you would get if you're streaming it. So it's kind of like a little special, it's a special song that you have on there
Speaking
in
of
the
that,
album.
speaking of bonus though, we've also come up with a two-disc deluxe version of Together. We called Together Deluxe, and it's only available. We just printed up 100 of them, a limited edition, and it's available from our website, theburritobrothers.net, and it's got associated recordings, like people who've bought these kind of expanded versions of albums know what I'm talking about. There's like the demos of some of the songs. There's the early writing drafts of some of them, and then there's a couple outtakes, songs that weren't used on the album, and a couple live things. It's just a little partner disc to go with together, and it's definitely not a double album. It's not like you get through disc one and then you go to disc two for more. Disc two is just a partner thing. It's sort of a collection of curiosities that associate to the real album, which is disc one in that Together Deluxe set. But it's neat. That's for
Very
completists
cool.
and people who want to peek behind the scenes.
Cool. That's cool for folks. Yeah. So everyone, theburritobrothers.net is the website. Are you getting ready for more? Like now that I'm in this. I'm road tripping with this. And so I'm gonna
Oh,
need
good,
more.
cool. Well, it's out of season right now, but last Christmas we came up with a really good Christmas album. I don't know if you're familiar with
Cool.
that at all, which I think is very listenable at any time of year, but I'm sure we'll be trying to push it again come Christmas.
Hey,
And
come back
then,
on for
other than
Christmas.
that,
Come over on our Christmas parties. Yeah, we have
oh,
Christmas
I'd
parties
love
here.
to. Love to. Please
Yeah.
do. Please have it. And of course, we have future plans to record some things. We never run out of material. We got lots of years behind us of collecting lots of good stuff, and we've gotten very capable of tweaking them and fixing them up. Like, for instance, the bonus disc of Together Deluxe exposes, if that's the way to put it, the fact that a lot of these songs go back 10, 15 years. They've been knocking around, and they're not quite as good as what we finally arrived at, but they're the early version. And there's kind of a lot of that in the careers of us four guys.
I think yeah, there's well, you guys, you've got a lot of history, all of you, with your and you can hear it. That is what it is about. When I first listened to Together, the album, the whole album, not just the song, the first thing it kind of brought me back into some of the more obscure work of the band. And there's
Oh, that's
certain
a compliment. Yeah.
there's a certain
Yeah.
album that people overlook, and it's called Jubilation. And it was a studio album that the band did a
Oh,
long time ago. And it's truly
in
what
slightly later days. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's actually one of my most treasured albums. Don't ask me why. It just is. I just dig it because there's this tightness of a band when a band is, they know their stuff. They've got it. It's dialed in, but it's so, you got the structure, but you have a lot of flow at the same time. And so I think that is such a, because as a listener, there has to be their structure too. Well, to a point. Even jazz comes back home, so it's got that where you can breathe and then you can take that extra breath and an extra, and then you're like, okay, I'm ready to come back home again, and then you do. So it kind of goes with our bodies, like our actual breathing, our heartbeats and everything, which music does, but it's a very
I
It
think
makes
so.
you feel good. And some of the songs are like, holy cow, okay. But
Oh, thank you.
the
Thank you.
storytelling is incredible. So that's where, as soon as I listened to it, I was like, oh, that's one of those albums. And even some of the vocals on
Yeah,
it
I'd
kind of
say
remind me of that too.
a whole lot of thought went into it, and effort and time. And it's not like I notice a lot of people, and especially sort of the older my age group type people, make albums that sound like a collection of demos to me. Like, they might have pretty good songs and stuff, but they don't seem like they fully realized them. We didn't spare any studio time or or anything like that. You know, our albums certainly don't sound, this album certainly doesn't sound like rough do-it-yourself demos. It's a fully realized, well-produced product, and we take a lot of pride in that. A lot of thought and effort went into it.
No, it's a good album. You guys have you,
Thank you.
it's I love it. That's the thing is we, the work that the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into something like this, so you can have these amazing feelings, but a lot of work. It just feels so effortless when you listen. That's the word, but it's not effortless to
Oh,
put together.
that's beautiful.
Yeah, you feel effort. It
Yeah.
feels it's effortless, and yeah, I dig it. I dig it, and it's been a real treat. It's been awesome to chat with you. We can't wait for more from you guys. So everyone, theburritobrothers.net, and thanks for tuning in here at Big Blend Radio. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been a pleasure. It's been really sweet.
She's a heavy hurt maker, gonna bring you down. She's a happy heartbreaker, I'm her love.